This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a holy day it is as we gather today as the people of God to celebrate All Saints Sunday and remember all those in our lives who have gone before us. It's my joy to welcome you this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online. We're so glad to be worshiping at the same time together. And I would invite you to take a moment and register your attendance. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary. Online, there's a link that you should be able to copy and place in your browser to sign up and let us know that you are with us. If you are a college student, we invite you to a free lunch after worship on Sundays. The college group gathers in the narthex just beyond the sanctuary and walks together to a place close by to have lunch together, and you are always welcome. A few other announcements. Excuse me, as we gather this morning, our youth are returning from a retreat together, and so we just want to remember them and pray for them and hope that they had a powerful experience of God's presence and a lot of fun together on their retreat. This afternoon from 1 to 3, we're having an acolyte training. So if you have a third grader or older who is interested in being an acolyte, then come back here into the sanctuary from 1 to 3 today and we'll get them trained. Next Sunday is a Jubilee Sunday, which means it's a Sunday when we're really hoping that those who are able to worship in person will be here on site. And if you worship online, to be in real time in worship, so we'll have more opportunities to connect with one another and make new friends. It's also our Giving Sunday, so it's the Sunday to bring your estimate of giving card. You can always do that online at our website /estimate now. As we look ahead to 2023 with big hopes, for our best year ever as a congregation. Today is a special day in the life of the church as All Saints Sunday. This afternoon at 4:30, our adult choirs will join together in leading us in worship through the Durafle Requiem, and it's a beautiful piece, and I invite you to join us here in the sanctuary online at 4:30 this afternoon. But now is the time when we gather for worship, when we gather at Christ's table, when we name aloud the saints from our own church family who've passed away this year. Let God hold us in God's eternal love and grace as we worship.
this All Saints' Day, we affirm our historic faith. We celebrate God's work in our lives today.
And place our trust in God of all ages.
Let us worship the one who brings life out of death.
Let us praise God yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions now with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love. If you're joining us online, you can do so in the chat or with those around you. And here in the sanctuary, we invite you to do that however you feel most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like for all the children who would like to come and join me up here. Because it's communion, we have this rail closed, so you have to go all the way around and this way. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. Come on up. Glad to see all of you. How are you, Lucy? Good to see you. Come on down. I was glad everybody was here on time today because we got an extra hour of sleep. And it was wonderful. I hope you got an extra hour of sleep too. Come on up. Well, as I said at the beginning, today is really a special day for Christians. It is All Saints Sunday. It's the day when we remember all of the people who've gone before us and have died. And on the cover of the bulletin, there are the names of people who are members of our church family who've died this year. And we're going to say their names out loud in a few minutes. And on All Saints Day, I think about my parents a lot, because both of my parents are gone too. And I have lots of feelings when it comes to a day like today. Sometimes when I think about my parents and other friends I've had who've died, I feel sad, because I miss them. And I can't just take my phone and call them anymore. So I'm sad. I'm grieving is another word for that. Sometimes I'm kind of confused. I have a lot of questions like, what is heaven really like? Or what really happens to us after we die? It's questions too that I bring with me. And then I also bring a lot of joy. As I think about my parents and other people I've loved, and I think about funny stories and things they said that make me laugh, and I think about all the members of our church family who are no longer with us and how much I felt God's love through them, there's so much to make us smile on a day like today. So we can have all sorts of feelings on All Saints Day when we think about people we've loved who aren't with us anymore. But I like to think of this big sanctuary as like the arms of God that hold all of our feelings, whatever they are, and they hold all of us, and they remind us that God is always with us, and the people we've loved are always with God, so they're here with us too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, on this All Saints Day, we bring into the sanctuary, into this time of worship, all of our feelings. We might feel sadness or anger or confusion. We might feel joy, peace, hope. We might feel all of those things at one time. We bring them with us today. We know that you hold us and comfort us and give us peace. Thank you for all of the loved ones who have gone before us. May they inspire us to be better people here and now, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Aaron to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, which many of you are, you can go and sit back with parents or friends. Thanks for listening. I've gotten the question many times over the course of my ministry in many different forms for many different people. Sometimes it's a child asking, what really happens when we die? Or someone asking, what is heaven really like? Or perhaps a grown-up asking me, what do we really believe about the resurrection? The truth is, most of us have lots of questions when it comes to life after death. And what I usually say in response to these questions, depending on the age of the person I'm talking to, is that as a Christian, I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, we know that death is not the end, that death is not the final chapter, but there is eternal life that goes beyond death, that God's love is stronger than death and is eternal. And as far as what that looks like and what that form takes place, I think for me, there's often more mystery than certainty. But knowing that eternally we are held in God's love and are in communion with the saints is enough for me. And maybe it is for you too. But there's still lots of questions, lots of debate. And all of that has been going on ever since the beginning of the human race. It was going on in Jesus' day. In the first century, there was a lot of debate among religious leaders and scholars about the resurrection, and if there was a resurrection, and what was it about, and what did it look like. And so if we're curious to hear what Jesus might have to say about resurrection, then we want to lean in a little more closely to our text today, because Jesus is in a conversation with some people called the Sadducees who had asked him about resurrection. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the Sadducees, if you don't know who they were exactly. They were a particular sect of Jews, different from the Pharisees. They tended to be those who were born into wealthy aristocratic families, highly educated. They were, you could say, theologically a little bit more conservative. By that, I mean they believed that the only scripture that had any authority were the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. They didn't look to the prophets or the other writings. They certainly didn't look to the oral tradition that surrounded the Torah. And it was because of that that they didn't believe in the resurrection. They couldn't see any case for it in the first five books, the books of Moses. And so Luke makes it very clear, when they ask this question of Jesus, they're not asking the question from the heart. When I get these questions as a pastor, it's often being asked from the heart by someone who is grieving and someone who wants to know because of a loved one. But not these Sadducees. Their whole point was to trap Jesus. And the question they ask him is ridiculous, and it borders on offensive. It comes out of this one place in the law of Moses, just a few verses, where it says, if a man and a woman are married and don't have a child, and the man dies, if he has a younger brother who is still unmarried, it is the responsibility of that next brother to marry the widow so that they might have children, and any children they have would be given the name and the honor of the older brother. It was called Levirate marriage. And so these Sadducees make up this scenario. Let's say this happens seven times over, and there are seven brothers, and this one woman has been married and passed down to each of the brothers. None of them had any children. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Who will she belong to, in other words? And Jesus responds with two different points. And I want to quickly look at each of those responses. His first response, I just love Jesus. And I hope, I'm sure that's good news as your pastor to hear me say that. But his response is so powerful. He turns the whole question on its head and exposes it for the cynical, callous question that it is. Because these Sadducees don't even think about the plight of this woman. This hypothetical situation, they're snickering at her situation. Here they're talking about a system that privileges the life and name of the oldest brother above the lives of the other brothers and certainly above the lives of women in that society. But what Jesus says is, in the resurrection, they do not marry, nor are they given in marriage, for they are all like the angels. They're all like children of God. What I hear in that is, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no hierarchy. There is no life that is lifted up as more worthy and more privileged than the others. There is no person who would be passed down as property. No one would be treated as less than in order to lift up someone else. In the kingdom of heaven, they are all children of God. And so these words of Jesus, in addition to giving worth and beauty to the woman at the center of this story, give us some guidance on who we are called to be here and now. For we all know that Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven not just as something that happens to us after death, but that is among us even now. That even now we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so we live as if it is already fully manifest. So we live as those who see all people as children of God, who work to dismantle those systems of privilege and hierarchy that value some lives over others. We live in the eternal now of the kingdom of God. When I look at our list of saints whom we name today, these church members who have died this past year, I had the privilege of standing in the pulpit for many of their services of life and resurrection, and telling some of their stories and bearing witness to how they lived this out in their own lives. How Dave Mullendore and Walt Johnson treated every client, every customer they were in relationship with, no matter how much or little money they had, as a child of God. How Sarah Stamps valued every girl in her classroom and treated them all with love and respect. How Ruby Fowinkle worked hard as a volunteer to make sure that women had choice and freedom in their own health. So many examples in their lives and how they lived it out here and now can inspire us in our living too. Because even in the midst of this debate, Jesus lifts up and reminds us what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And he goes on with the second part of his answer. And again, brilliant, he knows that these Sadducees are only interested in the first five books of the Bible. So he takes an example from the life of Moses. And he says, when Moses was talking with God at the burning bush, he asked God God's name, and God said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jesus said, he is the God of the living. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, or I was the God of Jacob when Jacob was alive. No, God is a God of the living, and in God, they are alive. That is a powerful word and a word of comfort and hope for all of us. I can't explain how it all works, but I do believe that in God, we are in this eternal now. That we are yet connected with those who have gone before us. No, they no longer walk this earth. They no longer inhabit their earthly bodies. They no longer are walking the planet with us. But in God, who is eternal, and in God's love that is eternal, they are alive. Maybe you've sensed that in your own life. There are days when I can hear my mother's voice. There are times when I know exactly what my dad would say. There are ways in which, as a community of faith, all of those who have sat in these pews and sung these hymns and prayed these prayers are still in our midst in God's eternal now. And that is a word of hope and a word of comfort. There are moments I've had in my life, and I've heard from some of you, you've had them too, when I've just touched the oneness of God's love, when I've just gotten a glimpse of the connection of all things in God's universal love. This is one of those spaces, one of those times when we can take in a breath and know God's eternal now. That God's love that we experience here and now in the people we know and love will never end. And one day we will all be in union with God in that eternal love, in some way beyond our imagining. And so today, I hear the words of the Apostle Paul, who lived 2,000 years ago and yet is in the communion of our saints. We can hear his voice saying to us, "I am convinced that neither life nor death nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." To which we say, "Hallelujah."
In body and spirit, and affirm our faith together. We're using the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in our hymnal today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates when they come by in a few minutes. This morning, a rose on our table celebrates the birth of Barbara Babs Kyle Akins, who was born November 1st to Betsy and James Akins, and is welcomed also by her big sister, Ellie. We are also grieving with Betsy Hay and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Alec Hay, who passed away on October 30th in Massachusetts. His funeral was held there on Friday, November 4th.
Comes from the liturgy composed by Thomas Cranmer, which this congregation has celebrated for many years. We will be in a few moments naming aloud those members of our church family, our church congregation, who have passed away this year. There is also space in the prayer for you to name in your own heart those whom you have loved and lost, and lift all of their names to God in a spirit of prayer, trusting in the communion of saints that surrounds us. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Most merciful God, we humbly beseech thee to receive these our prayers for the universal church, that thou wilt confirm it in the truth of thy holy faith, inspire it with unity and concord, and extend and prosper it throughout the world.
We beseech thee also, so to guide and strengthen the witness of the church to those in authority in all nations, that they may maintain the justice and welfare of all people.
Give grace, O heavenly God, to all ministers of thy church, that both by their life and doctrine they may set forth thy true and lively word and faithfully administer thy holy sacraments.
And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, that with willing heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives.
And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to support and strengthen all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Lord, we remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served thee in thy church on earth, who now rest from their labors, especially those most dear to us, whom we name before thee. Jacqueline Ann Sojourner.
Ed Reynolds Davies, Sr.
Raymond Edward Harrell.
Eloise Georgia Robertson Belote.
Jane Dowden Grams.
Michael Allen Irwin. Excuse me, Mike Allen Irwin.
Martha Ann Grant Likens.
James Walter Johnson.
Wilson Woody Sims.
Ruby Youngblood Fowinkle.
Kathleen Strong Elder.
Sarah Ann Frost Stamps.
David Harper Mullendore. And in the silence, we offer the other names on our hearts to God this day. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at last with them to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, and here in the sanctuary we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to God who has been so generous with us. be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of the ages, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered together and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all people. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace and salvation, poured out for all for forgiveness and love. The table is set, and our host, Jesus the Christ, has invited each and every one of us. Those who are here and those who are not here are all welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of the church or a United Methodist. You don't have to be anything at all. You are invited to come and receive the grace at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, just a few words of instruction. Our choir will go first and kneel at the rails, and then we invite those of you in the transepts and the balcony to come and make your way to the rails. Afterwards, those of us in the nave can come forward by way of the center aisle. If you will kneel as you're able and have your hands open, that will allow our service to know you have yet to be served. After being served, you are welcome to stay in prayer as long as you would like at the altar rails. If you're unable to come forward or you prefer a prepackaged set of communion elements, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary and just wave to me and I will serve you in your seats. All of our elements are gluten-free, so they're accessible to everyone. We always have an opportunity as we come forward to make a gift to one of the missions of our congregation. And November's communion offering goes to support Tennessee Justice for Our Neighbors, which provides affordable, high-quality immigration legal services to new people who come to this land. It provides education to the public and faith-based communities about issues related to immigration and advocates for rights of those whom we welcome. Let us make our way to the table of grace to receive all that is offered here. prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Thank you.
you feel them? The countless host, the communion of saints with us here in the eternal now. May we go in the peace that Christ offers from this time of worship out into the world to build the kingdom of God, to be the saints of God, and to dwell forever in God's eternal love. Amen.